Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So it's been revealed, the Big Ten vote. 11 of 14 presidents voted to stop the season. 11 of the 14. And the reasoning behind it was a study conducted by Ohio State Director of Sports Cardiology, Dr. Kurt Daniels, found that roughly 15% of student athletes who tested positive for COVID-19 experienced cases of myocarditis, an inflammation of the heart muscle that can cause sudden cardiac arrest. It's believed the findings of that study led to the Big Ten and Pac-12 postponing. Pac-12 just did what – Pac-12 was never playing.
The Pac-12 also had the issue with opening up facilities because some of their states weren't even allowing kids to show up. Like Chip Kelly on the told everyone on the day they announced they're canceling or postponing the year, that was the first day they could even get in their own building. So they had multiple things to overcome.
Yeah.
As the Big Ten didn't have the same. And now people have disputed that particular – Lance is being Lance again. Why'd you leave the door open? What are you eating? Pizza? What's he eating? What is that?
He's eating a pizza.
Oh, okay. Well.
Oh no, it's a piece of toast with peanut butter on it.
Oh, he's doing that thing still. Well, people have disputed that report, and the Big Ten said that's not the only thing we use. There are multiple things that we use to decide that we could not play a year. I do think it's just gonna ruffle Big Ten people, particularly people who wanted football. Because Central Arkansas played on Saturday against Austin Peay, the first game of the year. Their first test post-game, no positive test. So if that continues, if they do another midweek test and still no positive, that would mean Central Arkansas was able to play a game, not have a travel to Alabama, not have any positives, and start their second week of practice. Because they're playing UAB, I think, on Thursday, so they have another game coming up really quickly. Nothing that's going to happen this year is going to make Big Ten people feel better. No matter what report you put out, no matter what reasoning you have, if they watch football get off and continue to get off, the football fans of the Big Ten aren't going to care about your report.
But I just think the Big Ten, you know, they said they released all the information that, and this is Ohio State's report. They did this research themselves, and it came back that 15% of asymptomatic and mild symptom COVID athletes had myocarditis. 15% who had no symptoms. They still developed myocarditis. That's an incredibly high number for somebody who has either no symptoms or very mild symptoms. And I think that was just with that information there. Frankly, I think with that information, it scared them. I think potential lawsuits. If you have that information, what about like...
Well, how about if you have... trauma and stuff with the NFL? Okay, so then have tests for all the players, and then treat the myocarditis.
Yeah, that's
and then you go out.
That's the right course of action, but you have to continue to do that throughout. Like, you know, then if you get myocarditis, you're obviously out for the
year. Yeah. Well, I'm convinced ever since Hank Gathers, we should have been testing athletes for that anyway.
That's why I was so passionate about the CorMed stuff. Once I was talking to Dr. Burkholder, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he said, you remember Hank Gathers? Like, yeah, that's right. He goes, yeah. That was going to happen to him.
Mm-hmm.
He had and he talked about the electrical wiring in his heart. He goes, they never knew. That was going to happen to him at some point. And that's why NFL teams don't mess with guys who have heart conditions. It's really a big concern. That's why Maurice Hurst, you remember him from Michigan? He fell to the fifth round. There's just a lot of teams that really get concerned with it. And I think the Big Ten, once they had a report came from their own conference and from Ohio State regarding their own athletes, I think it was just like, we can't. This myocarditis is too big a deal.
Well, it came from Ohio State, and yet Ohio State voted to play.
Were they one that voted to play?
Yeah, Ohio State, Iowa, and Nebraska were the three teams who voted to play. So despite the report, the president, they still voted to play.
Well, but again, let's do something about it instead of just, oh, we can't play because 15%. Well, you should then test all the athletes. Then test them all, their hearts, and if you've got a myocarditis, we'll treat it, and then you can get back on the field when your heart is better and good enough to play. They should be testing them anyway. All of these kids that we see, and we see it every year, he falls out, he falls down on the practice field. It's due to heart related problems.
They're not checked. All they got to do, you have insurance. If your University of Houston, for example, right? Any university, you have insurance for your athletes while they're playing there, right?
Right.
Well, if you have insurance, get all of them checked every year on an echocardiogram. This CorMed, they like in other companies, this could happen all over the country. Mobile units, you take them out there, you run the athletes through it, you get, and I mean volleyball, Marfan's disease. They call it Flo Hyman disease. She was a University of Houston volleyball player who died, and she had the elongated fingers and arms, and it was a sign of Marfan's disease. She was a ticking time bomb too. Like, if you get all of your athletes checked with an echocardiogram, you're going to find that some of them need immediate help, or some shouldn't be playing anymore.
I'm telling you, I think Doc should just get a boatload of trucks, make it a net, go to every high school.
100%.
This should be required for every athlete before they play that they get one echocardiogram.
Because it's affordable through your insurance, and he's doing it with $200, even if you're non-insured. I mean, athletes who have – he was shocked, he told us, when he found four athletes in youth soccer. Three were treatable. One, he said, required immediate attention. And that's youth soccer. And they were just doing that just to kind of, you know, just run through the paces with a youth sports team. And he said he was shocked to see that. And that's – you know, that's a big concern right now with COVID stuff is, I think that's the ticking time bomb with COVID as it pertains to football. The myocarditis, it's not like we haven't talked about this. We have talked about this before. It is treatable, but it has to be detected. And for universities who aren't, I don't know. I mean, this needs to be an NCAA mandate. And frankly, you're right. It needs to be a mandate. It needs to be a mandate before a season even gets started. An echocardiogram should be the same as a physical now, to me.
Yep.
For young athletes.
It should be required. A doctor just texted me and said, that was a really poor study.
See, I've seen that from not just your guy, but other doctors just come out and ripped it. And the interesting thing is, or maybe
the – ripped what, the Ohio State study?
Yeah. The other thing is, Ohio State and other Big Ten schools are still allowing workouts during the age of COVID. So – and their football players are not doing they're not hitting and all those type of things, but they're still allowing them to quote unquote practice and train.
Well, wait a minute. So if they have enlarged hearts, they shouldn't be doing anything.
This is my point.
Right.
If it happens to an athlete when they're not playing the game of football, but they're practicing to stay in shape for football, that's less of a concern.
No.
And someone tweeted out, I think it was Stuart Mandel, who actually wrote something about how he was writing stories in fear of COVID and kind of did a mea culpa about it. He goes, He tweeted a comment photoed a comment from the Michigan president, tweeting out, I stand with our athletes, but I stand with the Big Ten as well with their vote to not allow fall sports. And then 2 weeks later, he tweeted something about welcoming 45,000 kids back to campus. And he goes, well, he voted against fall sports, but he also – is enthusiastically welcoming 45,000 paying customers back to campus.
Mm-hmm.
So it all feels a little hypocritical, because if COVID is a big deal, and I agree that it is, why would you bring back 45,000 kids to your campus? I know they're not playing sports, but they're still susceptible to catching it, and then you're going to quarantine them in these rooms for 14 days to keep them away from the student body. But that still means you brought that many people back to one place. And we all know it's a petri dish at college.
Oh, my gosh. What does Alabama have now?
I have to look it up.
They could. Last count was like 1,200.
It's a petri dish at college. Why is it not a petri dish at elementary schools?
Well, we have to have the kids back in class, Lance, I've been told.
Well, there's a...
No, I mean, but what's the difference between being a petri dish in college versus university? Alcohol doesn't change it. Sexual stuff doesn't change it. What's the difference petri dish...
Well, yeah, sexual stuff does change it. I mean...
No, face-to-face contact for COVID, not for COVID. COVID, face-to-face, aerosol...
There's a lot of face-to-face sex. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, but there's a lot of face-to-face on a playground, too.
And how do you keep the kids away from each other?
Yeah, but not the proximity's a lot closer. It's much more. I mean, you're getting into crowded bars.
To me,
your fraternities and sororities are all closer together. I mean, you might be able to keep the kids in a grammar school separated.
Yeah, but here's the big difference, and this is the maddening part. They're grown enough to know to know better, like to keep their, but they don't care. They don't care. They're like, COVID doesn't. And you know what? For the most part, they are right. COVID is not going to do a lot to most of the kids in college.
That's fine.
Elementary kids, but that's not what we're worried about.
No, I appreciate those videos where those college kids who are now having to sit in those quarantine rooms on campus start complaining about, oh, man, the accommodations aren't so great. Well, if you didn't go to that bar, maybe you wouldn't have to worry about the accommodations in the quarantine room. Maybe if you would have listened to everyone told you.
You know what my favorite Dell is? Dell, anti-COVID Dell, or not anti-COVID Dell. My favorite Dell is the Dell who gets hot. I don't know how to exactly classify it. The Dell who gets a little feisty because college football may get bleeped up.
I'm not, here's
something for you.
I'm not feisty because I feel like college football is going to get played. It's going to get played.
It's going to get played.
I'm not that worried about it. I do have an issue with the hypocritical stance place that these administrators are taking. Yeah. So we can't play football. We can't play. Forget about football. We can't play any sports because other athletes having their season pushed back or maybe not getting played at all. But you know what we can do? We can collect those checks. We can collect those room and board checks. We can collect those school tuition checks. Come on back.
My niece is going to Indiana, and they're like, hey, come on out here and get on campus. And hey, online learning. Like, I could have done online learning from the crib.
Mm-hmm.
I could have stayed at the house and not paid. No, we just changed. We're going to do that. But you know
but
what?
You guys didn't follow the rules.
Learning for the first semester.
Well, I got a buddy whose kid's in college.
But you can do online from the dorm, by the way. So that's cool.
They shut down the school and they shut down the university. And he said, online. And he said, well, what do I do? What do I do, Dad? Stay there. You ain't coming home. I'm telling you that right now. I don't want you back here. Man. You stay there, and you go to school because I want you to have the college experience, son.
Man, yeah. that grift where it's like, look, we're gonna bring you back because what is the college experience without having kids on campus? But we need you to follow all these rules. We know you're not gonna follow, or we're gonna have to shut it down. You didn't follow the rules. We knew you weren't gonna follow, so we gotta shut you down and take all your money.
Okay, you're going to shut down the schools. If we shut down college football, we end all sports. You shut down all the campuses, they don't get that room and board. Guess what happens?
Let them play. Say it, Dell.
No, I don't want to do that. I know why they're doing it, but don't lie to me. Just say, hey, we need your money.
Kindergartner in Clear Creek ISD test positive for COVID-19 on first day of in-person class.
Yeah.
And
how are you going to control kids from getting in each other's faces?
They're getting each other face to eat.
That's what I'm saying.
They all are. They're kids. It's what we do.
Exactly. So that's why I said, why is it better off to have the kids in school when you know you can't control them? They're kindergartens. They don't listen to you normally. You think, excuse me, Bobby. You know, there's a life-threatening disease out there. We're going to need to stay away from Sam.
Excuse me, Bobby?
Yeah. I'm sure there's a kid named Bobby in class. Stay away from Sam because COVID is real. What? Kids don't. They're not gonna stop it. It's all garbage.
Yeah,
nonsense.
813 ESPN 975-7378-0-3776.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
A A hospital executive says this. Clear Creek kid had to show up with it. Because just hours into being...
You wouldn't have tested.
Same day. You wouldn't have tested. And he was only there for not how long. And tell Dell the kids know about COVID.
No, it's not that they don't know, but is a kindergartner going to listen to you when you're explaining to them why COVID's a big deal?
Well, they're not. Well, they're going to forget.
Well, but some are like snacks.
But he's not a kindergartner. Like, he's 12.
No, he's 12. But I'll bet you Raheel's daughter. I bet she knows. He's explained it to her. You can't be by other kids.
But how long does that particular
once it gets lesson, hyped on the playground?
Well, you mean college kids who are like, I'm scared, and then they all go to a bar together and they're like jammed in.
They were never scared.
Yeah, they're not scared at all. That's the problem. But the young child, when you tell them, look, that's bad, don't do it. Well, you said that an hour ago. Is it still bad now? Because I still want to do it.
I heard of bad. How bad this is.
That's bad. Like Madi doesn't know what's bad.
She's not
cleavage.
She's not.
She knows what's bad.
How old is Madi?
Madi knows bad words are bad.
She's going to be 10 in
she's
December.
She's not in kindergarten. That's what we're talking about.
It as a kindergartner.
Oh yeah. She called people trashy when she was 3.
Yeah. See.
Did she stay away from kids? If you told her, "Hey, Madi, stay away from that kid," would she do it?
Does that kid have a tattoo?
No, it's a 3-year-old child. Another 3-year-old kid.
If that kid had tattoos, she would.
What does Madi think about face tattoos?
She's not a fan of tattoos. She used to say people out loud, like, that girl's trashy. She has a tattoo. Like, shh. She's our waitress.
Let's get Brian. LSU Brian in here. What up, LSU Brian?
What's up, guys? Hey, I got a couple things. First one, man, honestly, I blame the loss, the Rockets' loss, on D'Antoni. I heard you talking about it earlier. He said he was going to extend his bench, and man, you got the best on your team, at least the best percentage 3-point shooter on the bench in McLemore. The guys, I mean, you have to take Eric out at some point, and especially if he's not driving to the hole, you got to take Eric out. So I put it on. I put that on Coach. But also got a question for Lance. Lance, I'm not sure if you saw Tyler Shelvin, LSU's defensive tackle, opted out. From what I heard, he was projected, you know, late first round or something. So I just get your thoughts. I'm not sure if you watched his film yet or whatnot, but I just want to get your opinion on him. And I don't blame these guys for opting out. You know, it kind of sucks, but I mean, it's going to be considered a real season, but it's going to be a crazy season. And I don't mind if these, you know, high draft guys go ahead and opt out to protect themselves. So just get your opinion on him.
Yeah, I haven't. Just to be honest with you, I haven't watched him. I know that he is considered a top 50 player and could move up even further than that. I've watched him a little, but he wasn't draftable last year. So he plays a position. You know, my guess is he is going to be top 30 type defensive tackle, but I got to go back and now watch his tape from last year. Yeah, that's the hard thing is I'm just watching all 2019 tape. I've been able to write big time prospects, but who doesn't get better from their sophomore to junior year? Like everybody does. So I'm having to watch tape on a guy that I know if he had played this year, he would have been better. So what do I do with that? Like, I know these guys that I'm watching who are opting out would have been better this year in about 80% of the cases. Most cases, especially if they're sophomores and they're opting out because they're redshirt sophomores. Or some cases, some guys were redshirt freshmen who can't opt out now because they'll be eligible. It's hard. I mean, I've got 1 year tape for this offensive tackle from Michigan. He's not good enough. Like, he's a backup caliber tackle, but I know he's got starting potential if he gets bigger and stronger and grows into his frame and gets better as an offensive tackle. So what do? I don't see it on tape. I just have to assume that's going to happen. NFL teams are going to be making assumptions on that Miami defensive end with 15 sacks or whatever, but like 10 of them came when he, 9 of them came when he was lined up over center, and he's 250 some odd pounds. Like that, no one's going to line him up over center in the NFL. and he's not going to be able to beat terrible guards in the NFL like he did in college. So you almost have to throw those sacks away. Like, those sacks are irrelevant. I need to see NFL caliber sacks. I'm telling you now, this is going to be the hardest year that anyone has ever dealt with in terms of teams evaluating talent. They're going to have to make there's going to be a lot of guesswork on players, and there's going to be a ton of hits and a ton of big hits and a ton of big misses this year. There's just no other way around it. When you have an incomplete package, when you just haven't seen, that's like deciding what kind of, hey, what does your house look like? When you're looking at a house that's only halfway finished, John, you're going to have work done on your house. When your house is only halfway finished, well, you don't know what the end product looks like. You don't know if you're happy or not. You have to decide if you're happy
with
the end product.
How were your floors while they were working on
your
floors?
They look fine.
They look fine.
They look fine when they were being worked on.
And then
I didn't know that they had put a sealant on it. That was the problem.
How much did that cost you?
Mm-hmm. Everything. Literally, the floors aren't worth a piss. Like, literally, I would start over 100. There's a floor company out there listening right now. You want to do something through the station, get a little advertising, and I will give you a chance with a zillion social media hits to show what a rat job that the last company did versus you guys. And when I say company, I mean a guy named Willie, okay? He wasn't a company. He's a guy named Willie. And when I wanted to sue him through small claims court, because I have every claim in the world, and even your guy that you play golf with who tries to fix floors or whatever, he's like, I'll do whatever you need to help you with the lawsuit.
I'm just taking your money.
Well, basically, I'll help you. I wish he would have just said, can't do anything and not taking my money. But he just said, I'll file whatever you need. I'll help you because you've got a lawsuit case here. Yeah, it's not really a company if you text a guy and he won't text you back, or if you call and he doesn't answer and he has no storefront.
That's not a company.
That's not really a company,
no.
Per se.
No.
Willie, can I get an address? Can I go to your storefront? We don't have a storefront.
No.
What's your EIN number?
Do you even
I'd like your EIN number to contact the authorities.
Do you even know Willie's last name?
Well,
you're gonna have
to look. Tell you in my phone it says Willie Floors.
Willie Floors. That's not a last name.
I don't think it is last name.
No, you can't look
now,
that up.
His door work was delightful. His baseboards were top notch. You know, he was good at everything else, but you know, the big job that I asked him to do. So guess what? I'm taking off Floors from his last name. You're just Willie now. I'm not going to let you have the name Floors in your last name in my Google, in my Apple contacts. You're not Willie Floors anymore. You're Willie up.
Whoa.
That's what you are.
Whoa. I was going to just say the same thing. Willie effed up. That's what you... Oh, I just wanted to get him started with a floor.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Because I just like...
You know that money came from... I did a two-month consultation with... I did a two-month consultation with Zebra Technologies. They do the player tracking for the NFL. They do the chips, and for some college teams, they do the chips and the shoulder pads, and they track, and your next-gen stats comes because of Zebra. So they had me on a two-month deal. My buddy John Pollard got me in there, and it was a sweet gig for 2 months. Like, it was a super sweet gig. And I just took all that money. I said, hey, honey, this is found money right here. You know, I'm going to go to San Jose and do this consultation, yada, yada, yada. And I got to go see what Silicon Valley was like. It was really nothing. It's just some area. Like, it's not cool at all. It's just a bunch of warehouses. Anyway, I just took all that money and then flushed it on the toilet and got some floors put in with. They'd have been fine if they wouldn't have put that stupid sealant on porcelain tiles.
Damn
somebody
it.
Said, you know better than that, don't you? No, I don't know better than that. Mm-mm. I don't know anything about home stuff. Well, you know that porcelain can't absorb. I guess. I don't know. I don't think about this stuff.
I don't know that. No.
You think porcelain absorbs a sealant? I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? No one can
Why
say right
I
now with
that?
Technology these days. There is no technology where porcelain absorbs a sealant. It's going to sit on top. Yeah, well, now you tell me. Thanks, guy. Thanks, person who's telling me I should know these things.
Why didn't you talk to Willie before this?
Yeah.
Right.
Willie.
Why are you telling
Willie,
me?
Willie, you don't know this? Why did you let... And I can't remember who Willie's main floor guy was, who, by the way, was a total a-hole.
Who?
Willie's main floor guy, if I asked for anything, he'd be like... He just had this super attitude he'd throw around. Like, oh, now what's he asking me to do?
Sir, would you mind leveling the floor so we don't, so they're not, you know, like a stair step in my own living room, so I don't have to walk up the steps of my living room? Because would you mind leveling this? Oh, I have to work more.
Tonight, 7:10 p.m. Astros Rangers game at Minute Maid Park will be played as scheduled.
Noice.
The Astros had their game on Sunday postponed. Ba 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 bing. Okay, so the Astros have announced that it is going to be played. Huh?
Who pitches?
Tonight, who pitches? I don't know. Are they moving Fromber to today? That's an interesting question. Yeah, it's Valdez versus Garcia.
Oh, okay, so they're going to move him up.
Yeah, Javier versus Allard. And then the Astros don't have a starter for Thursday because Belak is Belak. Yikes. Because
Belak is Belak is,
well,
not acceptable.
Maybe Urquidy. Maybe I don't want to say it. The word. Urquidy? Is that a possibility?
It's not called the word.
It's the word.
The word?
Yep.
Urquidy?
Urquidy.
That's not what it's called.
I think it is. I tell you what it's called. It's called Chastain Ford, where you want to buy that Ford car or truck. They got listen, this little EcoSport, it's a neat little car. It really, really is. The back, it doesn't open up. It opens sideways. Kind of cool. And it's got all of the stuff on there. It's got the big, the giant, what looks like an iPad for your backing up and your and all of your gadgets, your radio and everything else right there on the dashboard. Really cool. So if you're looking for, oh, by the way, it's $199 a month. Is that any good? Yeah. Well, that's what you can find at Chastain Ford. And then all of the, listen, we got the Expedition, the Explorer Sport is outstanding. And of course, the F-150s, F-250s, the XLTs, everything, every truck, every car, every truck. It is the number one commercial dealer in the city for Fords. And you know what? The retail business is booming as well. They've got trucks. They've got cars. You can do it all from home. No dealer add-ons where by the time it's all said and done, they've thrown $3,000 onto the bottom line. That's not the way that Patrick and everybody over there does business. I'm telling you, you will love doing business because they really, really do care about customer first. They care about service and they care about making sure that you're going to be there forever. 85% of their business is return or referral. That tells you how good they are and what they do. I will be back. I'm part of the family and I'm going to be back for the next car that I have to have. It's going to be Chastain Ford every time. All you got to do is get to ChastainFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastain Ford.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Bane.
These are the same little MFers we can't trust with peanut butter, but we can trust them to wear a mask and be COVID conscious? Hashtag first grade dad.
Oh, no. You can't trust a first grader with
anything. I can't even send Snacks back to school because he will be a speed so.
Yeah.
He would just be, I mean, the way he's acting right now, which I'm glad he's safer, you know, but Snacks is just, golly, between him and Marty, I've just got some.
You don't get your...
Oh, no. Snacks. I'm going to show John this real quick. It got really, really ugly yesterday in the driveway.
Oh, whoa. Oh, that was a punch thrown. Oh, and a basketball thrown. Holy crap.
Snacks ran into me. But it was like watching the pit Snacks. My 12-year-old started, he goes, yeah, you came in, Mason, because you know that you couldn't stop me or something. Snacks started talking trash to a much bigger brother. His brother's a year and a half older than him, but he is way bigger. And Mason's better in basketball, too. And so Mason went outside and just completely, I'm taping it from inside, and it got highly physical. The snacks
that looks like a foul to me when you jump on your brother's
when
back.
When you jump through the air onto their back.
Yeah, that looks
and
like a
Mason
foul to me.
Kept this cool and put like six straight buckets on him.
Yeah.
But of course,
oh, it's make it take it.
It's make it take it. And you can see it ends. And Snacks came in screaming, yeah, great. Well, his number one skill is that he was born a year and a half earlier than me. That's his best skill. That makes him a skilled basketball player. He fouled every single time. He told, and I went back and made him watch this. I said, show me one foul on Mason.
Mm-hmm.
You literally are jumping.
Wow, that's an offensive foul right there.
You literally okay. Yeah.
Man, that got rough.
Yeah, blocker charge.
No.
I had to stop and go break it up after that because I knew that there
was. No, and Snacks is throwing punches. That's insane. You know what? You're going to get suspended.
He did like I told you, one time I looked at Google. This is probably 4 years ago, but I looked up YouTube. I looked up the history just to make sure nothing unseemly is going on the computer with little kids. You know what his search was? His search was Bill Laimbeer fights. He watched the Bad Boys documentary with me, and so he was YouTubing Bill Laimbeer fights, and like there were seven different videos he had watched.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And he used to love Bill Dennis Laimbeer. Rodman. Like now he likes wrestling, The Undertaker. He's just got there's a certain edge to him that I'm gonna have to watch.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, well he looked like he was physical in that video.
Oh, he's not afraid to get physical.
No. All right, 703-780-3776. Hey, the Texans got to get down to 53 by Saturday. They released a couple of guys you never heard of. But the 53-man roster, it's going to be interesting to see since we haven't been able to see anybody. But I fully expect that there's not going to be, you know, how many surprises can there possibly be? You know, guys coming out of nowhere when you have absolutely no game film, no preseason game film to watch of them.
Let me see.
I mean, honestly, is there? Have we heard names
no.
from Bill O'Brien or?
I mean, I pay attention to what's yeah. asked him because he will tell the truth.
No. Like, I've been reading every one of the transcripts, and there's no surprises out there.
Like he mentions DeAndre Carter when they mentioned DeAndre Carter.
Right, that's not a surprise.
No, but he talked about him being out there and he's available every day. That means Kiki QT is cut. He goes, that's a big deal, whether it's luck or whatever. I mean, Kiki QT to me has no chance of making his team. So I would tell you that your wide receivers, if they keep six, they're gonna have Cooks, Fuller, obviously I guess Stills. That's an expensive fourth wide receiver, but let's just say Stills, that's like a $9 million hit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stills is seven,
I think.
Still a lot.
That's a lot.
He's not even a starter. And then I would say DeAndre Carter as your fourth. I mean, as your fifth. And then my guess is, let me see what they did last year to start. I'm going to go back to if you go to rlads.com, it's a great site. It's got depth charts. But not only that, it's got archive depth charts. So you can see how. So last year they had Hop, Fuller, QT, Carter, and Stills to start the season. So they kept five last year. I always use the archive. So on October 1st, their roster was five wide receivers. So if they use five, I would mm-hmm. say those would be the five, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Isaiah Coulter or Tyler Simmons or Chad Hansen. Those guys, to me, I don't see QT making it. So my guess is Carter's reliable. And you know who the other guys are. Like, it's not a bad wide receiving core if they're healthy. It really isn't. You know?
If they're healthy,
yeah.
Well, that's a huge deal.
Cobbs and Cooks and Fuller and Stills. So then at tackle, you're going to keep Bills basically. I think you're going to see them keep. So it'll be Tunsil, Sharping, Martin, Fulton, Howard will be your starters. My guess is Greg Mance. They will keep Greg Mance because mm-hmm. he can play multiple positions. Although I don't know it's a lock. But I think they'll keep Mance. I think they'll keep Charlie Heck, and I think they'll keep Cineo Calamete. Those are eight. They could go with nine. But I also think they're going to keep four tight ends. So that's going to take away. Last year they didn't keep four tight ends.
And what happens with Colin Gillespie?
Well, let's do the math here. If we have eight O linemen, we have two quarterbacks, we have five wide receivers, we have one fullback and three running backs. So it'll be Johnson and Johnson and Higdon, let's say, but could be Buddy Howell.
Yep.
I don't know. So we'll say that's four running backs. So that right there, and then let's say four tight ends. So on offense, you already have 8, 10, 18, 23. You already have 23 right there, which isn't that much. A punter makes 24. And then that's really not that much. And then defensively, I guess you would – what did they do last year? I'll go back to the archives. So last year on October 1st, 2019, okay, they had four – they had three quarterbacks last year on the roster at that time, four tight ends, eight offensive linemen, five running backs, four running backs and a fullback.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they will keep four running backs.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they will. And I didn't realize they had Alex McGow, who was – they had a third quarterback
on the
roster.
They cut him yesterday.
Yeah, he was cut yesterday. Angela – so last year it was along the defensive front, you had six total for a 3-4, for example. You had six total defensive DN, nose tackle DN. You had six. Then your linebackers, which is the Sam, the Will, the Mike – and the Jack, they had nine, but that's because that's a position where you usually have special team stars like Peter Kalambai and Dylan Cole were in there. So you had nine linebackers. And in cornerbacks, you actually had six corners and four safeties. So you had 10. You had 10 in the secondary. So if we went with that same, I think it's going to be the same thing, basically. I think you're going to end
up
having nine
linebackers.
Well,
they've got more safeties this year. They might go 5-5 because they got so many damn safeties this year.
That'd still be 10 DBs.
Yeah.
And then you have 6, 19, 25. I mean, you still have room. I don't know. I got to look. Of course, you have deep snapper.
Who, by the way, they brought in another deep snapper this year. They signed another deep snapper this year.
Is there an injury?
I don't know. How about
you just gave him an extension.
Yeah,
didn't you?
And he's perfect. Why would you bring in another deep snapper?
How old is Weeks now? Is he 50?
The work too gruel. He makes over $1 million a year.
No, I mean I think.
How about that for deep snap? Well, he's perfect though.
I'm telling you, there's so many of you who have kids. You're like, I just really wish my son could be a football player, but he's only 240 pounds and he's a scrappy center. But I just don't think he's going to get any bigger than 250. Man, put that kid in long snapping school. What are you doing? Put him in long snapping school.
They can't hit him anymore.
It's not hot. Yeah, they can't hit him. They do want him to be about 250 if possible. But, you know, there's some deep snappers who are 240-something, and they are specialty schools for this. And it's not easy to get a job because once you have a job, you keep it for a long time. But they're like Supreme Court justices. When you're a long snapper on a team, you can stay there forever. Forever.
So his base salary is $1,050,000.
Yeah. He's just sitting there minding his own business, not making too much of a fuss. Do you think John Weeks is over here trying to like, I want more money? No. Whatever you give me is fine, Texans.
I'm not going to kneel. No. What do you want to do? I'll kneel.
Is this a one-year deal?
Okay. What are we going to, what you guys want me to do? I got to make the peanut butter sandwiches. I'm in.
Oh,
I'm
not sure. He's only got a one-year contract.
Huh?
Why would John Weeks ever say a word?
Never.
Never.
He's got a one-year deal. It's the cap hit base is $1,050,000. Signing bonus of $137,500. Cap hit of $887,000.
Who has a higher base salary, John Weeks or Justin Reed?
It's John Weeks.
It's John Weeks.
Justin Reed's still on a rookie deal.
Justin Reed, yeah, he's on his rookie deal. Stop causing problems.
Yeah, what are you
trying
to do?
Justin Reed's going to be asking to be the top paid safety in the league.
He or Max Sharping?
We all know the answers to this, John.
Higher base salary, Max Sharping or John Weeks? Or Lonnie Johnson.
Weeks. You're
or Vernon Hargraves.
Weeks. You're all
it should be Weeks.
Yeah.
Weeks is better than pretty much all those guys, but Reed and Sharping.
Yeah, he's better than Vernon Hargraves at what he does.
How come we have a Michael Thomas, only he's not a good Michael Thomas?
We like to do things.
Yeah, you have the other Michael Thomas.
Yeah. We have the other Tom Brady. What? Why don't we have the good Tom Brady?
Well, we're Patriots.
Damn.
We're good value Patriots. That's why.
Come on, man. Has John Weeks been the snapper? No, he hadn't been the snapper since Texans started.
No.
Since what?
I was like, has he been his Texans snapper?
Since what?
How old do you think John Weeks is?
2002?
How old do you think John Weeks is?
I already know how old he is.
I do too.
John Weeks?
Yeah.
Is,
you're looking it up.
Right I'm now. Looking it up right now.
He's 34.
34.
He'll be 35.
Gosh.
He'll be 35
what
next
kind
year.
Of living is this? I love this
it's
guy.
A perfect it's living. Great. I don't know why more kids.
He's 5'10", 242.
I don't know why more parents don't. If you have an athletic kid who, but he's not that athletic, make him a long snapper.
That's what you got to do.
Why won't you do that?
It's
what year did he start in the league?
It's good money. I mean, 12 years ago. He probably started, so I guess 2008.
2010.
No, 10 would have. No, yeah, 10.
He was undrafted. Huh. I guess he didn't make it for a couple years. Then he got on the Texans.
Well, that's just it. There's not a lot of jobs that pop open.
32 of them.
There's not a lot of jobs that pop open. But when there is one,
man,
oh, if you can play forever.
If you're let's say you're a three-star linebacker. So you're pretty athletic. Maybe you don't think learning the skill of long snapper and being a guy who can, they can actually depend on to go make plays down the field, why wouldn't you
Every
do that?
Every once in a while I run into that. It's a if I am a draft and I am a draft evaluator, if I see that you have any background, although sometimes I don't see it, like I've got to look for it, if you can snap, I guarantee you NFL teams, if you can snap, they will consider you. If you're a guy who's just kind of a guy but you can snap, you could end up potentially getting drafted. Or for sure being a priority free agent that can make a team.
Yeah.
100%. You're 100% right. If you can play linebacker and deep snap, if you can be a functional, backup linebacker, emergency linebacker, which I have seen that before, and a long snapper, oh, you can find a team.
Say you're a rotational linebacker at a Big 12 school, but you can also snap. You don't think... Not only do you add value as a backup linebacker, but you add value as being a better athlete than most long snappers going down and making plays.
I told my neighbor across the street, his son is like, his son still thinks because they played running back, his son is a freshman in high school, got the thick ankles, big bone knees. I mean, he's got the makings of an offensive lineman, right? Flat feet, just everything about him looks like an offensive lineman. But the family thinks he's a running back because he was a running back in middle school. Well, a lot of times the biggest guys are running backs in middle school. Why do we always see things like Haloti not playing running back in high school? Because they just truck people. They maul people. But in this year, I said, what position are you playing, Taylor? He said, I'm defensive end this year because we got a really good running back. And all I could think of was, you ain't never seen a running back again, son. Those days are over. But I told his dad, I said, you really need to have him snapping. Like, you need to have him snapping nonstop because the kid's probably going to be 250 plus in that neighborhood. Have snap, 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 snap. You can get a college scholarship doing that potentially.
Or at least a preferred walk on that may.
A preferred walk on.
That may
yeah,
change
maybe
into
not
a scholarship.
Yeah,
at some
preferred
point.
Walk on.
Oh, man, I'm looking up. There was a University of Texas, well, I think it was Kurt Loeffler. He was a quarterback and then he moved to tight end, but he started snapping. And then he had a career in the NFL, and then Nate Boyer is a great story. He was a long snapper. He was a Green Beret after serving 6 years and multiple tours in the Army. Mm-hmm. He walked on at University of Texas and just started snapping. He never snapped before in his life, and he ended up with a career in the NFL. But he was a Green Beret, so I mean, dude could probably hit people.
I'm on a website that has the top holders of all time. Who ranks the top placeholders?
Well, you never know. Tony Romo ain't getting there.
No, Tony Romo's out.
All right, 846 ESPN 97.5. That was our deep snapper segment right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, we'll come back and
it
we're going to start
less
talking
interesting on the other side.
A little bit more about punters when we come back.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
On ESPN, Dan Graziano believes Odell Beckham Jr. is going to lead the league in receiving yards. I actually think we're going to see, after all the hype has subsided, I actually think Cleveland Browns are going to make some noise this year with that offense. So, it was too loud last year. Odell trying to show off watches on the field and just, you know, do stupid stuff. This year, I think you'll see a return of focus to the football field, but that's a kind of a long shot. But I do think this is a year Baker Mayfield could show why he was considered the top pick. I'm not saying he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks, but I think he'll play better football. He's definitely got talent around him to thrive at literally every position other than in the offensive line. They put some money and draft picks into the offensive line. They drafted a tackle. They signed a tackle. It's not a lot of excuses for the Browns right now. They've got a roster. I think the Browns roster might be more talented than the Texans roster.
Thanks to Sashi and the work that he did. Working Rick.
Never drafting anybody.
Working Rick Smith. Yep.
Well, I'll take Deshaun Watson. I mean, I'm good with that.
Yeah. They probably should have done that. That or, you know, Pat Mahomes. I don't know. They could have done that instead of, you know, just trading away all their picks.
You know the Texans roster pretty well, the starters. And even the key backups. I'm going to read you the Browns, and you tell me who's put together a better team. Now, I'm just pulling it up. I don't have their roster memorized. So maybe I'm going to come away thinking Texans. They got Landry, Beckham, and then their third wide receiver would be Rashard Higgins. There's no question the Texans are deeper a wide receiver.
Yeah, but they're more spectacular. Browns are.
Yes. Left tackle, Jedrick Wills, who I think is the best tackle in the draft. Joel Bitonio, J.C. Treader, Wyatt Teller, who's just a guy, and Jack Conklin's now starting right tackle. That's got a chance to be a pretty decent offensive line. Yeah, from being terrible tackles to got a chance to be pretty good.
Picking up the left tackle and Jack Conklin.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's everything. David Joku, Austin Hooper.
Remember,
they picked up Austin Hooper, too.
Yeah.
So they have Austin Hooper, Harrison Bryant, who I think is going to really surprise some people, and David Joku, who has talent, has to show it. They got Mayfield and Case at quarterbacks. They have Chubb. And then they got Chubb and Kareem Hunt at running back.
Oh, yeah. The better.
Is that better?
They're better all the way around except the quarterback. Every position you could say.
Okay. Here's the defensive line. Sheldon Richardson, Larry Ogunjobi, Miles Garrett, and Olivier Vernon.
Mm. Better.
Better. Yep. Better. I'd say the Texans are a little deeper when I'm looking at this, but depends on how Jordan Elliott plays, who I like. Their linebackers are Jacob Phillips, overrated from LSU. Sione Tataki, just a guy. Tay Davis? They have Mack Wilson way back on the depth chart right now. I'm not sure what that's about. Linebackers are definitely Texans.
Texans, yep.
DBs, Denzel Ward, Greedy Williams. Didn't Greedy got hurt tackling somebody, which that was a rarity to see Greedy tackle somebody. But apparently he tried to do a tackle.
What's with all the LSU slander?
He got hurt.
He took a shot at Jacob Phillips. Now he's going after Greedy.
Jacob Phillips shouldn't have been drafted in a third.
No.
It's a lot of LSU Odell, slander.
Odell, Landry. I mean, he just ain't about the Tigers.
I like Landry.
What about Odell?
No, the guy that I like most on this team, they got a lot of LSU guys. Grant Delpit, I think, has a chance to have a big year this year.
No, I thought he got hurt. Didn't he just get hurt?
He's out for the year?
I thought so.
Right. Boy,
they got a lot of LSU guys.
Yeah, Greedy Williams got hurt tackling.
I think they got hurt. Didn't they get hurt on like the same day?
Yes, or either back-to-back days or same day, yes.
Yeah, Grant Delpit ruptured his Achilles.
Grant Delpit.
Kevin Johnson lacerated his spleen or something like that. The Texans' Kevin Johnson. Tough guy, just doesn't need to be that tough if he's that skinny. Tough and skinny is not a good combination, I'm just going to tell you, as a cornerback. Greedy Williams, Denzel Ward, and then like Terrence Mitchell. They got Denzel Ward.
Denzel Ward is good.
They got Greedy, who has talent.
Yeah.
It's got to be them, right, or no?
Well, is Greedy going to try to tackle somebody again?
I mean, God forbid. I hope not. Then you have Carl Joseph, who they got from the Raiders. And then Andrew Sandejo, who's okay from Rice.
I'll take the Texans safeties.
Sheldrick Redwine is there as a backup.
He was pretty good last year as a backup.
Probably the Texans. Joseph is not bad. But when I tell you that whole roster, and you think of the impact players, I would say Browns have better impact players.
Yep.
Younger guys. You look at that defensive front.
The Texans
front,
are much better quarterback.
Ogunjobi, Miles Garrett, Sheldon Richardson, Olivier Vernon. You want Richardson to play towards it, but, I mean, you have a better
Miles
front.
Garrett. and then a bunch of slappies would beat the Texans. I mean, because if unless J.J. stays on the field.
But Ogundobe is not a slappy. That's the thing.
No, but just Myles Garrett, and because the Texans don't have anybody other than J.J. who can't stay on the field. If J.J. stays on the field, then they can. Then it's arguable. But it's not. But otherwise, it's not. I mean, because who is it? Brandon Dunn? You're going to have to depend a lot on Ross Blacklock?
I mean, just look at this, though. Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham, Austin Hooper, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. I'm telling you right now, if Baker Mayfield can't get it done, and then they added Jack Conklin and Jedrick Wills, who I think Jedrick Wills is a Pro Bowl caliber tackle. If they can't get it done now with Baker Mayfield at quarterback, then he was a system quarterback.
No, well,
and wipe it out. Wipe out all everything he did at Oklahoma relative to being a pro quarterback. That's all system. Because Jalen had great numbers there. Kyler Murray needs to play ball too now.
Aren't we going into the third year of... Okay, we're gonna. This is Baker's got to show it. Josh Allen's got to show it. Sam Darnold needs to show it this
Allen
year.
Allen took a step forward, and you know what? I compared him to Cam. Cam was way better than Josh Allen.
But now the expectations are up there, Lance. If he gags, they don't win that division.
Oh, the expectations are higher, but he's coming off of a jump up. Baker's coming off of a depressing slide down. And Sam Darnold, I don't even – you're right about Sam Darnold, but I would just say this. I'd be very hesitant because he has terrible offensive line, terrible wide receivers
is
what he's had.
He's got Adam Gase.
I mean, no, but this is a prove-it year for
– Lance, like four people can see what you're doing the Adam Gase press conference.
Adam Gase eyes, everyone was dropping the C-bomb on him.
This is a prove-it year. For Trubisky, who probably can't even get on the field this year. It's a prove-it year for, I mean.
They say Trubisky might be ahead in the race. That's a terrible, terrible, terrible sign for Nick Foles.
Didn't we see that? Last year was for Jameis and Marcus Mariota. And guess what? They're both backups this year.
Yeah, you're right. But that was year four.
Yeah.
That was year four. This is year three.
This is year three, but, well. There's a lot of quarterbacks that don't make it through year three. If the Browns don't win big this year, with all of the guys that they've got there, you can predict that quarterback will be the first round pick.
Well, you're getting 4 years. You just won't get the fifth year picked up.
Yeah,
you're getting 4 years,
or I mean, you just say we're done with it.
But when does that ever happen? You just don't see it happen. Not even Mitchell Trubisky.
Already happened to Trubisky.
I mean, Mitch Trubisky looks like he's going to be the starter. They didn't get rid of him.
No,
They didn't draft a quarterback.
Yeah, no. Well, you can't. He's only 2 years in. You got to go.
Trubisky is three. Oh, Deshaun. This is going to be four.
Oh, that's right. This is going to be four. Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, he's not. They already picked up Nick Foles because they know that he. Well, guess what?
You know who a guy is in year three, though. Yeah. That's the point. You kind of knew. Look, Jameis showed you who he was by year three. You had Mr. Safety.
But they gave him 4 years. They gave Jameis 4 years. They gave Mariota 4 years.
Mariota was Mr. Safety. Yeah. And you knew, he's a guy who's safety first, won't hit big plays for you, a little inconsistent. Jameis is a turnover guy. They tell you who they are in year three, and then in year four, you're forced to live with them while you start to look for another.
While you're probably firing your coach.
You're looking for a side. Yeah, you're looking for your side piece who you're hoping is going to be maybe your next.
Of them. Baker, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, and Trubisky. Who has the best year?
I have the highest grade on Sam Darnold coming out. Who has the best year? I would put it like this: Baker, Allen, Darnold, Trubisky.
Baker has no excuse.
Pardon me?
Baker has no excuse.
Neither does Allen now because he's got a great defense. He's got Diggs now.
But Baker is set up to
be
the guy.
That's a luxury. He's been given a suite.
Yeah.
They built up that line. He's got weapons. If he's not good, then just relegate him to backup status the rest of his career and maybe spot starting because there's no excuse for what he's going to
do. My man who is Case Keenum's number one guy, he's in marketing. He's like, and I got to tell you, he's right a lot of times. He's been on the Case train for so long because Case is his guy. I'm telling you, Case is going to be the starting quarterback in Minnesota. Dusty, no, he's not. Starter. I'm telling you, he's everywhere Case goes, you're like, Case is coming back to the Texans. He's not going to play for the Texans. Ooh. Case plays. Everywhere Case goes, if Case Keenum is behind you, he's kind of like Fitzpatrick. He's going to snatch your job up. And guess who he's behind now? Baker.
Baker's.
He's like, Lance, I'm telling you, it's going to be Case's team.
Case is like the second in line to be the king, and he always somehow offs the first in line and becomes king.
Always happens like that. Well, let me tell you who's first in line when it comes to saving you money, and that's TGS Insurance. It's not always about cutting your service to save money. Sometimes it's about getting the same service, just cutting your rate. TGS Insurance can give you great rates on your homeowner's insurance. And here's the great thing. They can get you those rates with A-rated insurance companies. And in many and most cases, they are the same companies that are underwriting the homeowner's insurance for most of the big name companies that have the big advertising budgets that you see on television. A lot of companies with those big names, they actually use underwriters who are different companies, and that's who you get a chance to shop with. Send the word money to 232323, and TGS Insurance is going to get you set up with the very best A-rated insurance for literally huge discounted prices. The average savings is $900 per person annually, but the savings can often go into the $1,000 and $2,000 range. Text the word money to 232323 and get your results of what they can save you within 15 seconds. TGSinsurance.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.